So wonderful to know that as we pray that prayer, Lord, I need you. He says, yes, I'm right here. Aren't you glad the Lord is right here? And he actually wants to talk with me and with you. So what does he want to talk about? Well, we've been looking at the model prayer, and we see that our Lord wants to talk with us about his name. How wonderful he is. About his kingdom. The privilege we have of being a part of it. His will. Inviting to be a part of what he is doing. His faithfulness, as we looked last week. When we say, give us this day our daily bread, he does. He provides for us at all times. Every hour we need him. Today, what about his forgiveness? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, you realize that Jesus is giving us this instruction on prayer. And he is saying you really cannot pray sincerely, Lord, forgive me, if you're not willing to forgive others. And so he is saying that in your prayer, that the Lord wants you to already be in the position of having offered forgiveness as you are asking for forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We've always found it interesting as we study this passage that immediately following this model prayer, as we call it, Jesus reiterates the instruction about forgiveness. In verses 14 and 15, Jesus says, for if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. You know, there are a lot of beautiful words in the English language, a lot of beautiful phrases. There are some that we could do well to learn, certainly to say sincerely. As we think about the Lord's faithfulness to us, we think about a couple of those phrases, I love you and let me help. We need the Lord's help. We need the Lord's love, and we need to be able to say that to others with sincerity. I love you. Let me help. Then when you think about the Lord's forgiveness, we need to be able to say, I forgive you. You know, isn't it interesting how you say something makes all the difference in the world? I forgive you. I forgive you because of what the Lord's done for me. Because we need to be able to say to God and to one another, please forgive me. You didn't write those down. You might want to learn those. I love you. Let me help. Please forgive me. I forgive you. But learn how to say those certainly with sincerity. And as you and I think about that, somebody might ask the question, well, can I get to heaven without forgiving everybody? Because you know there are those people in your life, maybe you have one, maybe you have two, that when somebody even mentions their name, you kind of bow up. And the reason you bow up is because of something they said, something they did, whether it was to you or at a loved one of yours. And boy, just to hear their name, you know how it is. And I want you to understand that then people have the question, yes, I forgive those folks that I'm not really worried that much about, but you know, there's that one or two and I've got that in my heart. And can I get to heaven without really forgiving them? Well, I didn't say these words. Jesus did there in verse 15. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. That's a very powerful statement. The wages of sin is death. And so if we do not get forgiveness from that, we are certainly in trouble. And so first of all, I simply want to say to you this morning, we're going to be looking at forgiveness. How vital is it that we forgive? Is it that crucial? We're going to look at that. And so this morning, if there is someone that you know, if you have to cross their path, if someone mentions their name that you bow up in that kind of tension, I want to encourage you, find the release that God has given you in forgiving you, and then you give that release to everyone. We're going to look at a passage in Matthew chapter 18 if you're in your Bibles. I want to look at this passage. We're going to read through it. We're simply going to ask the Lord to give us some wisdom as we look at it in the question of how vital is forgiveness, because this being one of the things the Heavenly Father wants us to have a conversation with Him about, His forgiveness, how that has an impact in our life. And so as we turn to Matthew chapter 18, we're going to begin in verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 21. And the scripture says, then Peter came to Jesus, and first of all he said, Lord, and I'm going to stop right there, because you remember in our prayer we're beginning with our Heavenly Father. We're recognizing the person with whom we are speaking. And when Peter came to Jesus, he didn't say, hey bud, I've got an opinion about this. What's your opinion? He said, Lord, I'm recognizing you as my Lord. When you and I come to the Word of God, we are recognizing Jesus as the Lord of our life, meaning that what He says is the final answer. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? That'd be pretty good. A lot of folks, you did it once, you did it twice, a third time, that's it. Seven times, that'd be pretty good. Somebody keeps sinning against you the seventh time. I've forgiven you seven times. And Jesus answers Simon Peter. He says, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, those of you who are mathematicians like math, and so immediately you're thinking about 490 times. Now, we all realize that Jesus is not saying, Simon Peter, I want you to get a ledger, and I want you to keep it with you. And every time someone sins against you, I want you to mark it down. And when you get to the 491st time, then you don't have to forgive anymore. You know that's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was more or less saying, don't keep books. Don't even keep track of it. How many times shall you forgive? Just keep forgiving and keep forgiving and keep forgiving. And just in case somebody wanted to be legalistic and thought, well, there is a limit, Jesus went on to say these words. Verse 23, for this reason the kingdom of heaven, let me stop right there. What does our Heavenly Father want to talk to me about, you about? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Oh, he wants to talk with me about his kingdom. And so here Jesus is giving us one description that he uses about his kingdom. And so he says, the reason the kingdom of God, this reason the kingdom of God may be compared to a certain king. Of course, we recognize immediately that Jesus is going to tell a parable. It's not necessarily something that happens specifically this way. It is a story that in it describes truths about his kingdom. He is the king, we know that. But here in this story, it says there's a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, in the same way that those of us who like math would do some figuring here, what exactly is a talent? I'm going to give you a quick example. You may want to look it up on your own, and you may find another specific calculation. But whatever you come up with, you will understand what Jesus is trying to say, this enormous amount. A talent, you notice what he owed here was 10,000 talents, but one talent was equal to 6,000 drachmas or denarii, and that being one day's wage. 6,000 one day's wage, and he owed 10,000 of those. That means he owed 60 million days' wages.
Now, if you want to have some with Matt, fun with Matt, you can do this. Now, don't spend too much time with this, but let me just give you a thought. If you work 6 days a week, 50 weeks out of the year, for 50 years, you're going to have worked 15,000 days in that lifetime. And if you owe 60 million days' wages, and a lifetime is 15,000 days' wages, this slave owed 4,000 lifetimes to the king. The point is, he was never going to be able to pay this back. Wasn't going to happen. And so he has this unpayable debt, 10,000 talents. Verse 25, it says, but since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had in repayment to be made. In other words, this was the natural penalty. You couldn't pay your debt, you were sold. Okay? And so that's where he was. And you and I understand that is exactly where we are in our life, that we have an unpayable debt, that debt of sin. We cannot pay the price for that. We know that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We cannot do enough works to pay the debt of our sin. This slave could not pay this debt. And so what was he going to do? In verse 26, verse 27, it says, the slave therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before the king, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. Well, he was not going to be able to repay, but he was humbling himself completely. As a matter of fact, when you look at that phrase, falling down and prostrating himself before the king, that is exactly what the Old Testament says over and over and over with the word worship. You will read in the Old Testament, someone bowed down and worshiped. And it's two Hebrew words meaning bowing down and falling prostrate before God. That's exactly what this servant did. And it's exactly what you and I must do if we're to find the mercy of God. That we must completely humble ourselves before Him. And verse 27 says, and the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him his debt. Now, I want you to understand, remember what Jesus is doing here. Simon Peter's come to him and he said, how many times do I have to forgive my brother when he sins against me? Seven times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. And then he said, I want to tell you a story about my Father's kingdom. Can I do that? I want to tell you a story about how it is in the kingdom of God. And so here in verse 27, when it says the Lord felt compassion, Jesus is trying to get across to the disciples here that our God is a compassionate God. And when you think about that, how incredible that is, because without the compassion of God, every last one of us would die and spend eternity in hell. It says in the book of Lamentations, that this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. The King James Version says, were it not for His mercies, we would be consumed. Why? For His compassions never fail. Jesus is saying, I want you to know that the Lord of this kingdom, that is the kingdom of God, is a compassionate God. So in this story, He says, the Lord felt compassion for him and released him and forgave him his debt. Now notice, he didn't just say, okay, you can go and start working it off. He canceled the debt. You and I need to understand that those of us who claim salvation in God have not been released to work it off, and by the time we die, we will have earned salvation. He has released us. Matter of fact, the book of Revelation says right in the very first chapter, the fifth verse, it says, to Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood. You reckon this slave was excited? He owed 4,000 lifetimes to the king. And the king said, oh, listen, I have compassion on you. You're not going to be able to pay this. I cancel the debt. You're free and clear. You reckon he walked out of there, whoo-hoo! Boy, I feel like a weight has been lifted. Now, just in case we're not making the correlation, Jesus is saying this is what the kingdom of God is like. Every one of us are brought before the king. Every one of us needs the account settled. Every one of us has a debt we cannot pay. And every one of us, by the blood of Christ, have been offered this release by the blood of Jesus. Which means every one of us, we may express it in different ways, but if somewhere in the depth of our heart there's not a shout of joy, we missed it. So as you continue in the story, you find in verse 28, but that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Now let me give you a quick example here. They say that a talent weighed about 75 pounds. Okay? This guy owed 10,000 talents. All right? Which means that would have translated into 750,000 pounds of silver. 750,000 pounds. 100 denarii, which this fellow slave owed him, would be like you've held two rolls of pennies in your hand, 100 pennies, but easily they could have poured 100 denarii in your hands like this. That's all his friend owed him. And the scripture says here, he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. The comparison is so incredibly vast. Here's one guy who owed 4,000 lifetimes. His friend only owed him 100 days' labor. 4,000 lifetimes, 100 days' labor. And yet he begins to choke him. You say, that's ridiculous. He owed him less than a penny in comparison. That's right. See, I want you to understand that when Jesus is telling this parable, we're making the spiritual correlation. We're not just telling a story of some kind of physical calculation. We're looking at a spiritual calculation. And so I want you to see that in this verse, if there is someone in your heart that you have unforgiveness, this is God's assessment of your unforgiveness. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know what they did to me. I don't know what they did to you, but God does. And God's assessment of you holding that against them is the difference that he forgave you 4,000 lifetimes of sin and you won't forgive somebody this little bit. See, the difficulty is not that you don't know what that person did to you. It's not that you don't know how that felt. You did experience that. The difficulty is you and I have no clue the amount of our own sin against God because we don't see that. But the Bible is very clear to tell us that in so many different ways to help us understand, if we will believe the Word of God, that our debt is such an enormous amount that to hold something against someone else is like this comparison, 4,000 lifetimes over 100 days' wages. Verse 29, so his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him. What? Have patience with me and I will repay you. He did exactly the same thing to this man as this man had done to the king. Exactly the same thing. Should he not have recognized, wait, I just did this? And yet this man was unwilling to cancel the debt or to release him and let him start working for it. So right now, as you're hearing, hopefully the Holy Spirit and not Matt, saying you need to forgive that person, are you unwilling? The Old Testament tells us that God's people were unwilling to walk in His ways. Jesus said, how many times would I have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks, but you were unwilling? Are you unwilling to do what the Lord is leading you to do? This man was unwilling. He went out and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. Verse 31 says, so when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved. And you think, and immediately, you know, why would they care? Because let's be honest, we live in a society where a lot of folks don't care about anything but what has to do with them, and they don't care. If somebody else does something wrong, it doesn't matter. Why would they care? The reason they cared is because all the slaves had to come and settle accounts. And we know that in the kingdom of God, every one of us is only released from our debt by the blood of Christ, not through working through it. So these slaves actually had a change of heart, and it grieved them to see that this man had been forgiven so much as they had, and he had no change of heart. So they came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Verse 32 and 33, then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? Absolutely. It should be ever present in my mind and in your mind that God gave His only Son to bleed on a cross to pay the debt for my sin, and I could not pay it, and had He not done that, I would spend eternity outside of the kingdom of God and in a place called hell. Verse 34, and his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. Now I want to ask you a question. You say, well, didn't the king release him? The king already forgave his debt and released him. He was free to go. He didn't have to work it out. That's right. But because his heart never changed, he brought him back. You're a wicked slave. And the end result was like a lot of the parables that we hear about the kingdom of God. A place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. If God's forgiveness of you is not something that has resulted in a change of heart, you got problems. So yeah, but this was just a story. Does that really apply to us? Is it vital that I forgive everyone? Well, look at verse 35. Jesus then, after telling the story, said, just in case you're not listening and you didn't make the correlation, so shall my heavenly Father do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Again, not one of those, okay, I'll forgive you, but don't you ever come around me again. Not one of those, yeah, I forgive him. I'll do it again. I'm so wonderful. No, I forgive you. Because he forgave me of a debt you couldn't even calculate. I forgive you. I release you. It's the least I can do in relation to what my king has done for me. But no, Jesus said, my heavenly Father will hand you over to the torturers. You say, boy, that sounds rough. Yes, it does. But that's where we were already. We had a debt that was so heavy we couldn't bear it. We had a debt that would take so long to pay it off, we didn't have that much time, we'd never get there. So what are the two things I want you to see in this passage? Two things. Number one, I want you to see, God really does love you. Every one of us must come before Him and our account settled. And the only way my account is settled is through the blood of His only Son, which He gave for us, that you and I might have life. John said He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And so He is the satisfaction for our sins. He has provided for that. God really does love you, whoever you are. And if you say, yeah, but I don't know if my sin could ever be forgiven, because you really don't know what I've done. I know that this guy owed 4,000 lifetimes. That's really beyond calculation. God really does love you. What's the other thing we need to hear out of this? You must be a forgiving person. More precisely, your heart must have a change as a result of what God has done for you. Your faith in Him, your reception of His grace and mercy, your heart must change. You be a forgiving person, or you won't make it into heaven. Okay? The kingdom. He wants to talk to us about His kingdom. In the midst of that, He wants to talk to us about His forgiveness. This is my forgiveness. I provided it for everybody, but you must accept it in such a way that I actually have an impact in your heart and your life. Because, as Simon Peter at least knew to say, Lord, what about this? You're the Lord. You have the final answer. Who do you need to forgive today? Because God has forgiven you. Maybe you're sitting there and you think, I don't really need to forgive anybody. I need forgiveness. I just didn't know if God could really forgive me. Yes, He can. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is more than sufficient to cover all our sin. Praise the Lord. Let me pray with you. Thank you, Lord, so much for the fact indeed that Your grace is greater than our sin. Lord, there's so much that has gone on in our lives, whether it be personal sin or sin against us. And we thank You that Your blood is more than capable of covering all of it. And Lord, we thank You that You share with us these truths about Your kingdom, that we might recognize that, number one, how awesome You are, how gracious and compassionate You are, and that we have this joy of being able to respond to You and turning our life over to You, and that as we do, it does change the essence of who we are. And Lord, that we cannot simply, in some kind of mechanical way, be a part of Christian religion, but we must have a very true relationship with You based on what You did for us at Calvary. But Lord, we thank You for what You did, for who You are, for how You conquered that death in the resurrection. We pray today, number one, that if we have not understood, that today we would go away with a shout of joy in the depth of our heart that will never go away. And Lord, certainly then, that a heart that is changed will have an impact on how we always respond to the people around us. Sometimes in a moment, we may respond incorrectly, but Your Spirit draws us right back, and we respond then in a way of grace because we remember Your grace in our own lives. Thank You for how kind You are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.